I was born again 63 years ago, and I went to a church from the beginning, a church that emphasized the study of the Bible, and I was very thankful. And I got baptized in water, but after 3 or 4 years of that, I found a great lack of power in my life. I had a lot of information in my head. And that's what that church majored on, teaching, and you get a lot of information from Scripture, but not the power to live an overcoming life. And I feel that is the condition of many Christians who go to churches and some more information, truths. But the test is in our daily life. Do we have the power to live the way Jesus wants us to live? So then, as I read the scriptures, I read of the being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church I was going to did not emphasize that at all, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. So I began to seek God for that. And somebody told me to go to a Pentecostal church, and I went there, and quite frankly, I was very disappointed with what I saw. I heard a lot of noise. I saw the pastors running after money. I said, this can't be it. So I sought God in my own. I had a room of my own. I was working in the Navy those days, and I would seek the Lord, and the Lord showed me something which I'd never heard anywhere. Think of when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And as I knew from the scriptures that Jesus was anointed, if so, I must also be anointed too. But when was he anointed with the Holy Spirit? When he submitted to John the Baptist, immersing him in baptism. So when he submitted to John, pushing him into the water and lifting him up, then the Spirit came upon him. You read in Matthew chapter 3. So the meaning of baptism is, Romans 6 says, a submitting to death, to my self-life. It's my old man was crucified with Christ, so I submit. It's, you know, that's, you allow a person to put you under the water. It's a symbol. Just like breaking your bread is a symbol. So here's a symbol of your submitting to somebody who's pushing you down in the water. It's the surest way to die. If you keep him there, he'll definitely die. It's just a matter of minutes before he's dead. But why do you submit to somebody in baptism? Because you know he's not going to leave you there. He's going to lift you up. And the meaning there is if you submit to being put to death in your self-life, God Almighty will raise you up. And the power of the Spirit came upon Jesus then. And so right from that time, this is 1963, I remember it very clearly. I was seeking God for anointing to preach God's word and to serve him. And the Lord said to me very clearly that time, if you choose this way of death to self, I've never heard it in any of the church I was going to. My power will rest upon you always. But the day you decide to move away from this path, my power will depart from you. So I learned something that day. If I want God's power to rest in my life and in my ministry, I have to choose the way of death to self. He won't force me. You know, when somebody baptizes you, you can resist it. Say, no, I don't want to go under the water. And I decided, that was 59 years ago, and I said, Lord, I want to know more and more of it. And through the years, I've learned more and more. So I want to show you a verse in 2 Corinthians 4, which became very precious to me through these years. In the Old Testament, the mark of God's blessing was prosperity. Defeat of one's enemies, that was a mark of God's blessing you. Everything going well in your life, you're getting a promotion on time in your job, earning plenty of money. That's a mark of old covenant blessing. New covenant blessing, God may give you money or not give you money. That's not the important thing. It is secondary. The amount of money you earn, whether you're a billionaire or just earn enough to survive, these things are insignificant. There's no virtue or evil in either. The important thing is whether we have the life of Jesus being manifested in our body. And these verses tell us how that happens. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. That treasure is Christ. And for that life of Christ that came into you when you were born again, into me and you, for it's there, but for it to be manifest, our self-life which covers it up must be crushed. That's what Jesus meant when he said a grain of wheat remains alone, but it falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. I mean, we know how wheat is grown. You take a grain of wheat, there's a life inside that grain of wheat, but it's encased in that casing that God has made around it. But life can never come forth. There's life inside. That's why when you sow it into the ground, that shell of that grain of wheat cracks open and the life comes forth. And that's how you get wheat. But if you take that grain of wheat and never allow that outer shell to be cracked open and keep it in a glass case in your sitting room, after 100 years, it'll be one grain of wheat. But if that's sown into the ground, it multiplies, it becomes hundreds, and through the years, it becomes again sown, and again comes up, becomes millions of grains of wheat. What is the secret? It allows that outer shell to be cracked open. That's what Jesus said. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will never bring forth much fruit. My dear brothers and sisters, God wants to bring forth much fruit from every one of us. But that's hidden inside a shell, which we call our self-life. We want to protect our dignity, our reputation, our self. I want my way. As long as you keep that attitude, there's life inside. Christ has come into your heart, but it'll never be manifest. And you can live all your life and discover when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ that you wasted your earthly life just making money, getting a good name, going regularly to church, getting a good reputation as a decent Christian. You'll discover that your life did not count for God. I don't want to be known as a decent Christian. In fact, I don't want to be known by other people at all. I want my life to count for God in such a way that when I stand before the Lord in the final day, I will have no regret when my entire life is played on a videotape and I saw the choices I made in life and I see in each situation that because I made the right choice, the life of Jesus became manifest. That is my greatest longing. So here it says, in order this treasure in the earthen vessel, like the life inside the grain of wheat, how will it be manifested? That outer shell has to be cracked. And so the Apostle Paul says, this is how God cracked it in his case. Verse 8, he was afflicted in every way. Now affliction can be physical. It's not always physical. People can irritate us. That's a form of affliction. People can abuse us. People can speak evil of us. These are all various ways in which our self-life is afflicted. Somebody is speaking evil about me. I hear about it. Somebody is putting me down or treating me badly or so many things or cheating me perhaps. In every possible way. Why? God's trying to crack that outer shell. And you know what most men do, even most Christians? Resist it. Complain. Look at what that guy is saying about me. Look what that person is trying to do to me. and the shell of that grain of wheat remains like that. If you live like that all your life, I want to say to you, my dear brother and sister, you would have wasted your Christian life even if you sat in this church for 30, 40 years. Like we heard today, it's not hearing the messages and have being burning in our heart. The life of Jesus must be manifest. Perplexed. That's another way God breaks open this verse 8, this outer shell. We'd like to have clarity. God gives us perplexity. Clarity and all is for little babies. The more we mature, you think the more we mature, things should be clear. It's quite the opposite. Perplexity. This is the greatest apostle at that time saying, I was perplexed. You're seeking God and you're perplexed. And you bow before God and say, Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. I'm perplexed, but I submit. When I'm afflicted, I submit. When I'm perplexed, I submit. Verse 9, persecuted. Persecution also in the early days, it was physical, that they were tortured and their heads were cut off. But you can be persecuted in your office because you stand up for Christ. I found that when I was in the Navy, I found in numerous situations where my senior officers would trouble me, write bad reports about me because I stood up for Christ and I said, I will not do some of those unrighteous things. I refused to do it. Man, you know, in the Navy, you do something like that, you can be imprisoned. I say, well, it's fine. I'm prepared to face imprisonment, but I will not do something unrighteous. No matter which senior officer tells me to do it. You may lose your job. But do you think if you lose your job for the Lord's sake, He'll let you suffer? He'll give you a better one, where you can glorify Him more. Persecuted. Struck down. These are the ways in which that outer shell is being broken. And then he sums it all up in this expression. This is a beautiful expression, verse 10 and 11 and 12. Always carrying about in my body the dying of Jesus. There's a dying of Jesus on the cross where he died for my sins. I have no part in that. I cannot die for my sins. He died. Nobody else could die. Almighty God had to come as a man and die. But the Bible says that I was crucified with him. And in that way, there's a dying of Jesus that I have to live with every single day. Dying to this self-life that covers up the life of Jesus as it's come into me, for it to come forth, for that life inside the grain of wheat. Wherever you see a man from whose life much fruit is coming, you can be absolutely sure that in his secret life, he has died numerous times.